Here you know.
Okay. Yes, I'm ready to get started.
Okay. Are you ready in Tallahassee?
Yes, we are ready to go.
All right, perfect. I'd like to welcome everyone to the April 1st Education POC meeting. May we start with a roll call, please?
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Langille.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner John.
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer.
I'm on.
And Commissioner Bouret.
Present.
Madam Chair, all present and accounted for.
Wonderful. Is there anyone in Tallahassee that would like to announce their presence?
Gamble.
Jim Hammers.
Okay, we have our agenda. It's been posted. Does anyone have any changes to this agenda? Not hearing any, can we have a motion and a second to approve the April 1st meeting agenda?
Schiffer will move.
Brown second.
Schiffer and Brown, all those in favor of approving the agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we have an agenda. Next, we have our February 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes. Did anyone have any changes to those minutes? Not hearing any, is there a motion and a second to approve the February 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes?
Brown moves approval.
Shepherd will second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving the February 2nd meeting minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The minutes are approved. We have no accreditor application, so we'll move right into our rule workshop. I understand Mr. Campbell is going to lead us in that, so I will turn it over to him.
Thank you. Six specific items to go through today that I've prepared some materials for. And the way we're going to go through this is I'm going to go over the current requirement in the rule or in the form. And then I'm going to go over the options for changes that are listed on the summary sheet. And then I'll ask the commissioners on the POC if they have any clarifying questions. And then we'll go to the public for any input that they have, and then we'll take it back to the POC for a discussion or a moment or a motion. All right, so the first item we have is a change to the two answers for question one on the course details page on the form used to apply for accreditation. The current requirement, the advanced code course application, requires the applicant to choose if the course is instructor-led or online. And that is right here on your screen. They have to pick those buttons, between those buttons, those buttons. We were thinking that it could make sense when now down in the options for chainment for changes to change the instructor-led to in-person classroom, and then change online to distance learning, online live instruction, and distance learning online on demand to draw a clear distinction between if the course is being taught in permanent, in person, live or live online. This has caused some confusion for applicants, and we think that a distinction here would be helpful. And then the other two options are if we want to do something else, or if we just want it to remain the same as it is right now. So I'll go to the POC if you guys have any clarifying questions for me. Okay, members of the PubMed of the pub of the public, does anyone want to make a comment? All right, so it's back to the POC for a discussion or a possible motion.
I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
When we do get to the vote, is it simple majority or is it the three-quarters consensus? Or is that only at the POC or only at the commission level?
I believe that this is not a procedural item. It's an item, so we'd be looking for the three quarters vote.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well, I didn't get to my button soon enough earlier. I thought the purpose of the online was really to distinguish instructor-led from self-directed. So to me, I don't really see a difference between online live instruction and instructor-led. To me, that's okay. The same thing. It's always been the online. To me, that implied self-directed. I'm not trying to come up with another option. I can probably live with any of these options. But I just thought that was simpler.
If we had a third online, if it was distance learning self-directed, would that be good? Because then we would have the four options there and it would have it covered.
Yeah, I have no preference. That was my impression of what the online was. It was when you did a self-directed online course or self-directed. It doesn't actually have to be online. You get the materials, you do it, you take the quiz. So
right.
To me, it was self-directed or instructor-led.
Tom, this is David.
Yes.
Let me go forward. If I send a course that's instruction-led or online, I need to do two submissions, right?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. If you're doing a, yes.
Okay, so I have to pay the consultants twice to review those. And I think it would make sense what Nadine just said to say instructor-led/online. If the instructor leads it in person or online, that would make the person submitting the course not have to pay two times for the review.
Tom, this is Michael Clark.
Yeah.
Let me give a little bit of historical context.
Sure.
Commissioner John is correct, and the reasoning many years ago why the language was ended up the way it is as far as two different submissions, because when people first started using the online technology, the format of the course would have been totally different. And so everybody felt like it would have to be a separate submission because it could change the course in some way. Well, nowadays, with the technology that we have, people are submitting almost exactly the same course as instructor-led and or online. So I'm not even sure if we should be keeping the separate submissions as Commissioner John just stated, because most of the courses, as we look at these, they're exactly the same. They're not changing. When all this first started, it was a totally different format for a course to be offered online. Nowadays, okay. It's not.
So would it make more sense then if it was instructor-led and then the second option was self-directed?
Tom, can I comment on that? Because I had a course that was approved for this edition, and I paid $400 to have the first course approved, and then I had to pay another $200 for the internet course when they're exactly identical. It was
right.
They were identical. So what Michael's saying may make more sense is, if I submit a course and submit the slides, why am I paying to have another course approved just because it's online if it's identical in the same course? It costs me an additional $200 for submitting the same thing, and the guy that reviewed it had to go through it, to verify it. So I'm thinking it. So what Michael says is if the course is approved, what difference does it make if it's online, instructor-led, or interactive?
So would we be trending more towards just removing these two options entirely and not even asking?
But maybe that's a question for Michael, because I don't see a harm in it, but there may be something that Michael knows that I don't.
Okay.
And you're right, both of these are separate issues, but they're totally linked. Yes, I am suggesting that we delete the language for an online versus an instructor-led course, which then leads to the logical conclusion do we really need to delineate? Because the delineation was because of the separate submission. So now that begs the question, do we need to delineate the types of courses they are at all?
In my opinion, I think you do. I completely understand what Commissioner John is expressing, but I guess I always thought the self-directed, there was normally a quiz or some kind of timer showing that you actually put in the work to justify your credit for taking this course, as opposed to instructor-led, whether it be webinar, where you're physically logged in, where someone can see you, or if someone was standing in front of you in a conference room, that always implied your attendance alone was the proof that, that you took it. So I think there's something about proving that you actually took the course that's involved in there somewhere.
Yes, that is a difference. You are correct, Commissioner Dean.
But could you possibly then still go to one course, but then ask a question if it's internet, what's your method of evaluation? Because that's more the method of. I totally agree with what you're saying, because you could get a credit for a course and not be doing something else and not paying attention. So the test. I think the test should be required for an internet course, a proof of attendance, but put that as a method of evaluation. Don't make me pay twice for the same course. Put it in the method of evaluation.
Madam Chair, this is Shane Gerwig. Is this appropriate time for any public comment on this matter?
Shane, I'll go to the parliament to the public in a minute. We've come back to the POC now. Listening to Commissioner John and to Commissioner, it seems like we're exploring an option that wasn't specifically on the sheet. And again, I guess my question is, Commissioner John, you would be more along the line of the lines of not having anything here. Am I correct?
Correct.
As far as the buttons go.
Yeah, but also include in the method of evaluation, if it is an internet course or self-taught, there is a requirement of a test and someone to pass it.
Okay.
And it would only to be, a lot of the things we review, it's the same darn slides, but someone's paying someone to review both. And I'm looking at this when I review them, and it's the same course. Exactly the same course, same syllabus, same timeline, everything other than the word. One has internet, one says, in-person presentation.
And Commissioner John, what you're essentially saying then is that you'd like to see, you could submit your course as an online course because it would have the additional test associated with the internet course, but you could also then teach it live and not have to have a second accreditation for that.
Yes, that's correct. And that's what basically, okay. As long as Michael's agreeing with that, is there something that he knows that I don't? But if the internet course and the in-person course is identical, and the only, I think the only difference should be the method of evaluation.
Okay. And Commissioner Dean, you still think it's important to draw a distinction between the two, or would you be fine with the same course being submitted for both online and instructor-led? Or do you think that there should be a distinction drawn into different approvals? They'd be given for those courses.
I'm perfectly fine having the distinction in the evaluation.
In the evaluation, okay.
Oh yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any comments? All right, now I'll go back to the public, to the public again. I know we had a couple of people who would like to give some input.
Joe Belcher.
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Shane Gerwig.
All right, we'll take Joe first, and then we will take Shane.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of points. Commissioner John is correct. Courses are exactly the same, except for the questions, except sometimes they're not the same. Sometimes the provider has some changes, or as I've written courses myself, I've noticed that every time you look at it, you see something you can change, and things will change even between requested information and resubmittals of courses. So sometimes they are not exactly the same, which the accreditor, when he or she accredits a course, they say the course does comply with the code. So whatever you're doing, the accreditor, if they're doing the job properly, has to actually review the course. Mm-hmm. The second part is, I believe, and I haven't checked the CALB rules lately, but I know the providers have to submit the commission-approved courses to the CALB, and it's pretty much been a rubber stamp approval. So if you don't, and the CALB does make that distinction between internet and live class. I don't know if they've addressed the Zoom type class as yet. I haven't really looked at that from a provider standpoint in quite a while. But they do have a distinction, and that is where the in-progress questions come, because you have to demonstrate the person's presence on the course. For a one-hour course, it's not a big deal, but some of these courses we're looking at are like 7 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours. So that they want some way to demonstrate that the attendee, this CLB had a hard time in the beginning of even approving internet courses. They didn't like the fact that these self-conducted courses, it could be somebody in the office that does it and all that sort of thing. But that's part of the reason that we had that distinction. And to my knowledge, they still look at that way from the CLB standpoint. So
So yes, you're correct. Their form does have two options, and they might make course providers, if we were even to make this change, submit two approvals to them, one for online class and one for an in-person class. I'm not sure how they'd handle that, but we could definitely look into it.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make those points. Not that I agree with Commissioner John. A lot of them are exactly the same. And in fact, in our rule, we don't have anything that says that the accreditor can require that these in progress questions be submitted. I always request it from a provider for the reason that I know that the CLB is going to be looking for them. But if they say, well, I had a 7-hour course and they wanted to give me 3 questions, and then I asked for more, and they gave me 5 questions. I thought that was kind of inadequate. But I don't have any authority or the ability within the rule to ask for anything more. So I think that is an issue that needs to be discussed as well as part of this process. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. And Shane?
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, Madam Chair. Shane Gerwig, on behalf of myself for this morning, taking a look at this, one of the challenges that we've seen as well, too, is working with the approval numbers and the approval information for the participants. You know, back to Commissioner John's points, as far as there's concern related to submitting multiple applications and everything, the way it works. Well, the challenges with that, there is by submitting multiple applications, it generates separate numbers as well, especially once that many providers are going into like a hybrid format because of COVID restrictions and everything. So have a limited attendance in person in the course, and they could also broadcast the course over the internet. So, you know, through a webinar type format. So I think it's important that we explore all the options with this and perhaps consider a webinar or a live webinar as the same requirements. I know we haven't really got into the rulemaking process really per se yet, but to really consider the live classroom with the same requirements as a live webinar, and then on a separate note, consider the student-led or the participant-led, you know, where you can log in at will, and then to consider that there as the online or the internet learning. So, Madam Chair, I appreciate your time, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you. All right, commissioners, so it looks like we have an option, or the way the conversation's trending is that we'd be looking at a option that was not on the sheet, and it would be to not have the distinctions currently are, but to draw the distinction in the course evaluation.
I guess I have a question, and I know that, I mean, sure. I can't answer it. I'm not a provider. If we do this, which I have no problem with putting it in the evaluation, if we do this, is this going to cause providers problems down the line with other groups that have to accept these courses down the line? I just don't want to do something that causes a problem for other people further down the line.
Hey, Tom, this is Mo.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because I was muted. I just had a comment. I think it seems the issue that from what David and what I heard is that you have a course that is really, you submitted it twice, although the same course. I think the issue also is a fee issue, that you've been charged twice for the same course, although it's the same. Normally, when somebody submits an application, and that application already been reviewed and approved, you could provide for the provisions, which what you call self-affirmation, meaning that the applicant would come into the system, use the same course number, and say, I am self-affirming this one, to be used for online. And then will become an administrator decision to determine, yeah, it's the same course, so there's no fee involved, no accreditation required, and then it'll be submitted and okayed. I think there is a room there to really resolve the issue with the fees, and the issue with the duplication is through some mechanism like self-affirmation. We do use that in another programs like the product approval.
Tom, this is David.
Yes.
I can speak about these other accreditations because I am a CILB provider, BCAIB provider, and an FBP PE provider. There is a distinction between an advanced course approved by the Florida Building Commission. I mean, it's a separate, in my opinion, it's a separate thing. And if I was going to submit a course to CB, if I was going to submit an advanced course to one of these other boards, I would follow their rules. But we're talking about approval by the Florida Building Commission as an advanced course, right? We're not talking about accreditation at other boards. So I, although I hear Mo, but you know, to submit another course, you know how much time it takes and in the cost? I mean, my goal would be to make it simple to submit a course and also review and approve it. But I don't think we need to worry about these other boards. I mean, the course needs to stand alone by the other boards. It's not part of the Florida Building Commission approval of an advanced course.
All right, are we ready for a motion? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, just a quick question. And I'm the newbie, so I'm not that good at it, but if we do decide to eliminate noting the instructor-led or the online, and I think the online's a bad name, everybody probably agrees with that. I think AIA's on-demand might be better, but would we move those two things down into the method of presentation and the person would choose which ones he would be using, or are we just going to orphan that?
That could be an option that we could explore to select the designation there.
Yeah. I agree with Commissioner Schiffer that I think it's still important to know how the course is going to be presented, or both. So we know to be looking for an evaluation method that matches with the method of presentation.
Yes.
So we could look to eliminate the distinction for the permanent for the purpose of two applications, but make sure that it's indicated in the method of presentation and the course evaluation the method as well that this is an online course.
Well, it could also simply be changing from the radio button, which means one or the other, and changing it to a checkbox, which means you could check either or.
Okay.
Or both.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do think getting rid of the phrase online is kind of old. I think everybody's used to on-demand to access media and stuff. And it does separate from instructor-led.
Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Brown. Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Actually, the question is to Tom, I think. I'm at a clear disadvantage because I don't know a lot about the way courses are submitted. But from hearing the conversation, my question is this. Tom, could you construct a proposed motion that would incorporate the two main points that I've heard is not to have to duplicate course submissions. And the second one that I think the chair raised that was a very important one, and that is that in those self-directed courses that there be some way of assuring that they did, in fact, consume the material. So could you construct a proposed motion that incorporates those features and see if it meets with the approval of the committee?
Sure. So it would be a motion to remove the distinction between instructor-led and online as separate options. And then to indicate in the method of presentation whether or not it's a online or in-person course.
Okay. I think I would modify that to say instructor-led in parentheses live or in-person / webinar.
Okay.
And online, change that to self-directed parentheses on online demand or on demand, something like that.
I would be willing to make that motion.
Is there a second?
Can you repeat the motion now again, please?
The motion is to move the that first section where it says instructor letter online, remove that section, move it down to the method of presentation as a check mark, and instructor led would be followed by in-person / webinar, and online would be replaced with self-directed on demand.
And just to clarify, so you're talking about submitting one course, but then talking about the method of a presentation. So we can, okay, I'm okay.
You could check both.
I second that motion.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that passes.
All right, we will move on to item 2. Which are the changes to course title. This is kind of what got this conversation started in the beginning. The current requirement requires course titles to contain the word internet if appropriate. And in the rule, it is right here on your page at number 3. So some of the options we received were to change internet to distance learning, add the term online, to remove the term internet and add online, or remove the requirement to include the term internet or any other descriptive term in the course title. And then we have other or for the rule to remain the same. Do any of the members of the POC have any questions or clarifying questions about those options?
No, but in light of the last vote, I'm going to suggest that we remove the requirement, period.
Okay. Any other members of the POC?
Yeah, this is Shiver. I strongly suggest that. Look what happened last year. A whole bunch of courses were approved to be held, led by the instructor, and they immediately went into internet, and that was never added to their application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, now I'll go to members of the public. Okay, we'll go back to the POC for discussion for a motion.
I would make the motion to eliminate it, just as the chair said. We eliminate it because we've covered it in what we just talked about.
Schiffer will second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Right. The motion passes. Next.
All right, we are moving on to item C. For all advanced core courses to require a title slide or title page that contains certain specified information, and this was submitted by Commissioner John. The rule does not currently can contain a specific requirement for a title page or title slide. The options for changes include require each presentation to contain a title slide or page that has the course title, the a space for the licensing board approval, not the number when it becomes available, the hours of credit, and contact information for the continuing education provider. And then again, we have an option in there for any other change you might want to see or for it to remain. And I do want to point out that the rule does require that some of this information to be in the presentation somewhere. We have contact information here and a few other spots, but again, there's no formal requirement for it to be included on a specific slide or on a title page or a title slide.
Tom, this is Michael Clark. Usually this information is contained in the syllabus.
Okay.
At least part of it.
Thanks. Michael, now I'll go to the commissioners for any clarifying questions or comments.
Tom, this is David. If I can go ahead.
Sure.
The reason that I wanted to do this was because if you're taking the course, one of the things that you're required to do as a PE is submit that information to the Florida board. They physically record on your file completion of the course, which include all that information. Now, it takes about, I don't know, 5 seconds to add it into a slide. It doesn't cost anything. So I'm wondering why anybody would object to have it on the cover slide. I think Michael made the point. It may not be a slide. It may be a printed page, but the reason for wanting it in there is just to make it easy for the person taking the course to provide the information that's required for the Florida Board of Professional Engineers.
My comment is I'm kind of neutral on this issue. Again, I'm not a provider, although I am a professional engineer, and I'm used to seeing this information on the certificate that I received. So I'm anxious to hear from the providers to see if they find this an undue burden to them, or if, you know, what they think on it.
Well, the thing is, if someone's taking an advanced course, they're assuming it's been approved by the Florida Building Commission, right? And I don't see the difficulty would be to provide the information on the cover slide. And if I'm reviewing presentations, do I need to go through hundreds of pages to find out where that information is? Or if it's on the cover slide, it's easy for me to check the box that it's the information's provided. But it's really to help us reviewing the presentations. It's to help the person writing the presentation, and it's to help the person that's sitting through the presentation.
Any other commissioners with a question? All right, I'll go to members of the public.
Madam Chair, this is Shane Gerwig.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Chair. Anyways, as a provider, and I've written, you know, several courses and everything like that, there's concern. I mean, for the most part, we include this information somewhere in our course materials anyways. I think it might be a good idea to go ahead and include this information, but I wouldn't want any particular restriction requiring it on a certain slide or anything like that right there. I think that maybe something that would say that include this information somewhere within the course material, but not necessarily limit it to a title slide or something like that right there, because it all depends on the layout of the provider's course.
Joe Belcher.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have no problem with the information required or requested, but from a provider standpoint and from an accreditor standpoint, we don't have the course number. The provider does not have a course number until the course is uploaded onto the system. And then the number is assigned. So what would happen here is that an accreditor, and some accreditors are this way. If there was not a number on the title slide, they would kick it back, and that means another fee for review. I know accreditors that for something what I consider small, like somebody doesn't have an email address on there, they have everything but an email address, they'll charge them for another review because they have to do another review. So I don't know how you're going to have the number on a title slide from a provider standpoint, since you don't have the number until you upload the course. So that's my own. Other than that, generally this information is on the syllabus, and that's where I look for it when I'm doing an accreditation. I don't know about requiring it on a specific slide. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public have a comment? Okay, we can go back to the pod now for discussion or a motion.
Tom, can I make a discussion here?
Sure.
Well, first of all, I totally agree with Joe that if we're going through submission, you may not know the number. But if you're giving the course, you better know the number, right? And I'm only suggesting this to make it easy to review. So I don't have to go through the whole presentation and find out if the information's there. It just makes it easier for me to review. And I don't think it's a burden on the people putting the presentations together. But, you know, if you need to put XXX as a number, I think that's fine until it's been approved. But then the number better be on the presentation.
And the number we're talking about is not the advanced code course, actually the licensing board number. Am I correct, Commissioner John?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question, Tom.
Well, he said the system assigns a number when it's going through its accreditation the process for the commission, and then the licensing boards could assign it a new number when it's approved by that licensing board.
No. My experience is with the engineering board, and you have to submit the number, your number, and approval from the Florida Building Commission.
Okay.
So before they'll accept the course, and then once that's accepted, that means your course has been accepted by them as an advanced course. So you have to submit the number, and then people taking the course need to submit the number to prove that they attended that course.
Okay.
Good. May I make one more comment, Madam Chairman?
Sure, John.
I understand where Commissioner John is going. However, I'm looking at it from the accreditor standpoint. And the accreditor is looking at this list of things that the rule says have to be there. But we're not going to have that course number on that, at least in the first submittal. We'd have to request further information, and then the provider would be able to put the number on a course title. But the first go-around, they're not going to have that number, and that's going to be one of the items that we're looking for on the as we go through the rule doing an accreditation. I don't have any problem putting a number on a slide, and I would always do that when I'm presenting the show or presenting the program, but I don't know how somebody's going to do that for their first application for accreditation and wind up getting a kickback for something like that. Thank you.
Thomas, can I make a comment to that?
If you'd like to.
Can I ask a question of Michael? When you go on to the computer system to log in a course, aren't you assigned a number at that point? So you are using, you can't even submit a course without getting a number from the computer system or not? Is it,
Michael? Then, excuse me, within the BCIS, when a course application is filled out, it's assigned a number once it gets into the system. And as it moves through the system, it keeps that number.
So to Joe's comment, he would have the number when he made the initial application for the course.
Yeah.
That's when you make the initial upload on the system.
Correct.
Then you can't make any further changes until the accreditor requests further information. So
the provider would not know the number. The accreditor actually will know the number before the provider.
Exactly.
This is Larry Schneider. I've had problems with my microphone. Can I have an opportunity to speak on this?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm a provider and an accreditor, and as mentioned, all this information is in the syllabus. Number two, I have never seen a presentation yet that doesn't have the course title on the very first slide. And also on the certificate that people do get is the course number, the course title, the number of hours, and the instructor who gave is all of that person's information is on that certificate. So everything is there. And if you really are going to read what you wrote, you say the licensing board approval number. The licensing board is either the board of architecture, interior design, engineers, landscape architects, not the Florida building. That's a totally different number. So I would be opposed to this change that require all this information on a title slide, but it is all already given. As an accreditor, we look at the syllabus and everything is there. When you're actually taking the course, you get all that information once you receive your certificate. Being on a title slide is not necessary. And thank you.
All right, so now we're back to the POC, and we can look for a motion or for more discussion on this issue and amendment, and whenever you don't have the change, you can ask that it stay the same or come up with a modified version of the proposal as well.
Okay, can I make a motion that we include on the title slide the information that we've outlined here?
Is there a second?
Brown second.
Okay, discussion? My discussion is I will be voting against this. I don't think it's necessary. It's already in the syllabus, and the information is also on the certificate that the person taking the course receives. Is there any other discussion?
Is there, to the chair, is there harm in doing it, or is it just not necessary in your view?
I think there may be, I can't speak as an accreditor or a course provider, but I do deal with product approval, and through product approval, I can tell you that some accreditors are very petty about making changes, and some of them are not cheap when it comes to making revisions. So my main grounds is that I think it creates a burden on the providers. That's really, the information's already there. I just don't think it's necessary. That's my opinion.
And this is Schiffer. I'll be voting against it because I think there is a danger in opening up the files that have been approved and adding even a little bit of information. So certain media, that could cause a problem by cracking the protection of the media file being closed.
All right, we had a motion and a second, so Do we want to do a roll call vote on this one? Because it looks like we have.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, let's do that.
Commissioner Brown.
I'm torn. I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Commissioner John.
I vote yes.
Commissioner Schiffer.
No.
Commissioner Bill Ray.
No.
I'm missing one, sorry.
Commissioner Langille, and I have not voted.
Yep. Commissioner Langille?
Yeah, that's a no for me.
And Commissioner Dean?
No.
All right, so that fails. We had one yes and five no's. Do we want to make another motion on an option, or just from this item?
I have no motion. Does anyone else have a motion?
Okay. That will take us to item D, which requires separate uploads in the advanced code course application, and this was submitted by Commissioner John as well. Currently, the advanced code course application it does not require for there to be five separate the uploads in those upload fields. They currently are the course syllabus, course materials, detailed course outline, detailed course timeline, and learning objectives. Pull those up. They're right here. So this is what the fields look like on the form. And we have course providers who are only are submitting large documents into just one and two of these fields, and including all of the items there instead of specifically breaking them apart. The options we have available is to require separate uploads into each specific category to reduce the amount of the upload categories and provide clear examples of what should be uploaded into each one of the categories, other, and to remain the same. We'd be able to achieve A and B through just a fix to the form where we make those fields to be mandatory that something needs to be uploaded in to them. So we could approach it either way if that's the way you choose to go. So now I'll go to the POC for any clarifying questions.
Tom, can I make a comment? Look, I think what my goal would be is to make it easy for the people submitting and the people reviewing. So I really don't care if there's one submission, two submission, three submissions, four submission, five submission, doesn't matter. But the thing that makes the review of these courses so difficult is even the ones we went through today. Some of these submissions are two documents. Some are three documents, some are four documents, some are five documents, but all they've done is copied the syllabus, the timeline, and the course information three times. So I am not wanting to say, well, you've got to do these five things. I just think whatever we do should be consistent and make it easier for us to review these courses and make it easier for someone submitting a course.
Thank you. We'll go to members of the public.
Belcher.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just can't say my name and wait for permission to speak. Sometimes I speak out of turn. I understand what Commissioner Johns is saying. However, I have to say, again, when we started all this, when the commission started approving courses, we were working off the CILB model. And our courses, in a lot of cases, go to the CILB for approval for building. And these are the five categories that CILB requires information to be submitted on. As a provider, for me, and to upload these things, it's much easier to put all of them except for the course materials, which is a lengthy one, which has your slides, into one document and differentiate, a separate page, course syllabus, a separate page, the outline. It's easier to put them in one document because what happens, and I've found this when you're uploading these things, and if you do much of it, you start getting confused, and you put the wrong document in the wrong slot, and you get the wrong version when somebody has requests further information. So for me, it's easier to just put them all, except for the materials, into one document. They're all identical, as Commissioner Johns. The reviewer, myself as an accreditor, I really only look at one. I look at the one set. I make sure that there's not, some major change for a different course or something in another document. But I do look at all of them. I don't review them in detail. I just use the one set detail for the detailed review. So I really don't see it as an issue. However, I do understand what Commissioner Johns is saying about sometimes somebody will listen to, they'll submit the whole document that contains syllabus, outlines, objective, and then a second document for the materials. That's actually, for me, an easier way to go. I just don't know if CILB accepts that, if that same competitor tries to submit it that way over there. Thank you.
Good morning. This is John Farinelli from JC Coet. May I comment?
Go ahead, sir.
To kind of echo what Joe Belcher just said, as a provider and an accreditor, having all the information in one document from an accreditor standpoint makes life a lot easier. And as a provider, getting courses accredited, it makes life a lot easier. Because you got to figure, if you've got five separate documents, four separate documents, whatever it is, that contain the same information, and your accreditor finds an issue with it, then you've got to go through as a provider and make the change in all the documents, which can lead to errors. And again, echoing what Joe said, when you go to get a course approved by the CILB, you still have to submit a syllabus that has those five requirements in it. So for consistency, ease of working the online system for submittal, ease in reviewing it from an accreditor standpoint, and ease of submitting the required information from a provider standpoint, I would absolutely support having all the information in one document and then the course material as a separate document. Thank you.
So, John,
I'm sorry, just clarity. I just want to repeat that on what both of them have said. The average applicant, again, let's go to the Board of Architecture and Interior Design is a different one. Everyone is looking for all these items, and if you do two simple submittals, you do the syllabus, the outline, the timeline, all one document, and then the presentation or whatever you're going to call the course itself, that's a separate one. So it's two pieces, and you do it all in one. So I want to piggyback and agree with what both of them have said. It just makes it simpler versus doing five little bullet points. You can have all the requirements that you want. Just note it, it's all in one document. And then whatever the presentation is, that's a separate document. Therefore, you only have two submittals. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Shane Gerwig.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, I just want to echo what Mr. Snyder, Mr. Belcher, and Mr. Farinelli just previously said. I don't want to go into detail and just repeat everything they said, but I just want to let you know that I do concur.
All right, so from what I'm hearing from the pub and from the public is they would like to see it reduced to two fields, and that there would be one field that would be the syllabus and other supporting materials, and then there would be a second field that would contain the course material, the materials, or the presentation materials themselves.
Can we see the BCIS page again?
Sure.
What we haven't discussed is this also involves the method of evaluation, which currently doesn't have an upload category. But do we need a separate upload category for a quiz, or is that considered part of the syllabus and other materials, or is that part of the presentation?
I would go to Michael, but I believe it's been part of the course syllabus or the supporting information in the past, but I'm not sure.
Again, what? I'm sorry, Commissioner Dean. What are you asking?
We're not discussing the method of evaluation as one of these items, which is the next item up. So my question is specific to not necessarily the method of evaluation, which clearly could be with the syllabus and the timeline and the outline. My question is specific to a quiz if required. You know, we're talking about requiring it for a self-directed course. So
right.
Is that part of the materials? Is that part of the syllabus at all? Or is that a separate category on its own?
Okay. As far as how it works in the system, about half the courses that have a quiz attach it to the actual material, and about half uploaded as part of the material, as a separate document. But it is uploaded with the material.
Madam Chair, should I save you a minute? It is required. It's currently listed in the rule that you have to provide a method of evaluation. That's in four. Sub J. Under what the accreditor is looking for.
Okay, so if it's part of the method of evaluation, which we're going to discuss next, but it would be part of everything but the course materials in that other document. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, it absolutely should be. If we're talking about putting everything on one document, there should be a titled subsection that says method of evaluation, along
okay.
with the learning objectives and all the others.
All right. Here's my comment. I like the idea of the individual, not the individual uploads, but the fact that the BCIS lists each of these items as a reminder of what needs to be there. So I'm perfectly comfortable with syllabus, course outline, course timeline, learning objectives, method of evaluation, and then an upload for all of those, and then a separate upload for course materials. If somehow the BCIS could be formatted so that it's almost kind of like a checklist, you need to have this in this document. Not sure how to do that, but.
Well, yes,
what I was going to say is the problem, because I do all the reviews of all these courses and I do that kind of review, what you're suggesting. And what happens is, and this is my job to rectify it, is that accreditors, they all are not consistent. In other words, they don't all view these subtitles the same. And that requires some training, I think. I think that's how we fix it.
So, Commissioner Dean, would you like to see a motion to consolidate the uploads to two fields, one for the syllabus and supporting materials, and one for the actual presentation materials. But for there to be instructions or a reminder on the BCIS as to what is to be in the course syllabus and additional materials.
Yeah,
I would make the motion to approve that, Tom.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Well, second.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion or questions? All right. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. We passed, so we're on to the next one.
Commissioner Dean, it's already past 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
We could have an opportunity to just forward what we've done to the commission and then say ENF for the next POC meeting, and we can work on the language for the first three that were approved, and then continue to or have the discussions on ENF at the next meeting at the next POC meeting in May, or we can continue on now, but we'll probably start to run up into the product approval meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. I guess we're tabling this discussion for the next meeting, and we will move on with the agenda. Do we need a motion for that? Being a rule
hearing? If
you'd
like to make that motion, sure.
Okay, I make that motion that we table the rule hearing at this point, continue on with the meeting. Is there a second?
I second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. We will discontinue the rule workshop for the next meeting, and we'll move on with our next agenda item, which is item number 6. We're going to review courses. Our first course is course number 1028.0. That's Florida Building Code 2020, Chapter 27, Electrical, provided by Stay Safe Enterprises, LLC, accredited by Alarm Association of Florida. Michael, will you tell us about this course?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that provides necessary information about the FBC 2020 edition, Chapter 27, Electrical Provision. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course?
This is David. I on the title slide, it says Florida Building Code 2020 edition. That should be the 7th edition 2020, right? So they just need to change that title slide.
Okay. Is the provider or the creditor on the call? Okay. Michael, will you convey that information to the provider? Right, is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
With the change of the title slide.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1028.0 with the correction to the slide, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Course number 1028.0 is approved. Next course is course number 1047.0, FBC 7th edition 2020, Advanced Plumbing, Gas, and Mechanical Provisions for Builders Internet. This is provided by Florida Home Builders Association and accredited by JDB Code Services, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that will familiarize the participant with construction means and methods as it pertains to plumbing and mechanical requirements of residential buildings. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on this course?
Again, this is David. On the title slide, it doesn't even indicate the seventh edition or the year or anything. So I'm suggesting that's added to that title slide.
It's a provider.
The rest of it, I don't think it needs to be in the content of the slides too. And I didn't see it when I went through it.
Madam Chair, this is Shane Gerwig going for Florida Homebuilders Association.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, and Commissioner John, I can definitely update that material on the title slide and make sure that there's incorporated through the presentation as far as there's concerned. I do appreciate your comments, and I request approval pending that change, and I'll make that change on my end.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other comment on this course? Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve with the change that we discussed.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Burley.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1047.0 with the change to the slide, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Course number 1047.0 is approved. Next course is course number 1051.0, 1 hour Florida Building Code Mechanical 7th Edition 2020 Advanced Internet. And this is provided by First Choice CE, and it's accredited by JPB Code Services, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a 1 hour online course designed to describe the general requirements for the installation, repair, and maintenance of appliances and equipment in various locations and environments. Whether a contractor will be installing equipment in a garage or a condensate disposable piping system, this course will give them a basic understanding of what standards must be followed. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course? Is there a motion for approval?
Brown moves approval.
Is there a second?
A second, David, John.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1051.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1051.0 is approved. Next course is course number 1048.0, FBC 7th Edition 2020, Advanced Electrical Provisions for Builders Internet. This is provided by Florida Home Builders Association, and it's accredited by JDB Code Services, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a 1 hour online course designed to familiarize a participant with construction means and methods as it pertains to electrical requirements of residential buildings. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course?
Yeah, this is Commissioner John. I didn't find the code year or code edition or anything like that. So I like the course. I wonder if they could provider could add the code year code information to it.
Madam Chairman, this is Shane Gerwig.
Yes, sir.
This is Shane Gerwig. We can definitely include the information just like we did on the, I guess you could call it the partner course. But we'll definitely include the code information on the title slide and everything, and throughout the presentation as appropriate. And we would appreciate if we could go ahead and approve number 1048 this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment on the course? If not, do we have a motion for approval?
Commissioner Brea moves approval with the adjustment.
Okay. Is there a second?
Brown second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1048.0 with the change to the slide, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Course number 1048.0 is approved. Next course is course number 1046.0, 2020 Advanced Backflow Prevention Internet Course, 1 hour. And this is provided by Steve Kirkpatrick, and it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a 1 hour online course that will provide contractors with 1 hour of advanced building code training, focusing on backflow prevention and cross-connection control. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course?
This is Commissioner John, I saw the quiz. I just didn't see determination of pass. So I was wondering if they could add, you know, like 70% must pass with 70% or more. It may be in there, I just didn't see it.
Is the provider on the call? Okay, Michael, will you convey that information to the provider?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All right, that's percentage of passing. All right. Is there any other comment on the course? Is there a motion?
No approval with the adjustment.
Okay, I heard Commissioner Brown and Commissioner Bure with the motion and a second. All those in favor of approving course number 1046.0 with the addition of the percent passing added to the syllabus, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1046.0 is approved. Next course is course number 1045.0, 2020 Advanced Building Code Mechanical Significant code changes, Internet. This is provided by John Southern Engineering, Inc., and it's accredited by JC Code and Construction Consultants, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that reviews the significant code changes in the 7th edition 2020 update to the Florida Building Code Mechanical as compared to the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code Mechanical. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any pop comment on the course?
Yeah, this is Commissioner John. I didn't see, there's a quiz and answers and the course looks good. I just don't see the pass saying something like must have 70% correct to pass. It may be in there. I just didn't see it.
Is the provider on the call? Michael, will you make sure that the provider is given the information to add a percent passing?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
And Commissioner Brown second. So all those in favor of approving course number 1045.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, and that included the provider adding the percent passing.
Correct.
All right, course number 1043.0, 2020, FBC Advanced Power Conservation Internet. This is provided by Jade Learning, and it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that will review methods and tools for power conservation as required by the 2017 National Electric Code and 2020 Florida State Building Code. Luminaire placement, energy insulation, ceiling foam dimmers, LED, and additional energy-saving ideas will be discussed. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any pop comment on the course? Is there a motion for approval?
No, I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
Okay,
is there a second?
Schiffer, right second.
Okay, thank you. I heard Schiffer second. All those in favor of approving course number 1043.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1043.0 is approved. Next is course number 1055.0, FBC Accessibility 7th Edition 2020 Advanced Building Code Review Course Internet. This is provided by American Society of Landscape Architects Florida Chapter, and it's accredited by Larry M. Schneider, AIA. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a two-hour instructor-led course for landscape architects, so they will be knowledgeable of ADA standards in their application. The new ADA standards for accessible design were published in September 2010 and became mandatory on March 15, 2012. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any pop comment on this course? Is there a motion for approval?
Brown moves approval.
Schiffer will second.
And a second. Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1055.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1055.0 is approved. Next, we have course number 1052.0, Advanced Florida Building Code Plumbing, 7th Edition, 2020, Appendix F, Landscape Irrigation Systems. And this is provided by American Society of Landscape Architects, Florida Chapter. And it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a two-hour instructor-led course that will review and explain the key features and sections of the Florida Building Code as they relate to the practice of irrigation design and subsequent irrigation system construction for landscape architects. Sections of the code, in particular, Plumbing Appendix F, will be reviewed in regard to the practice of landscape architecture and in relationship to the protection of public health. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on this course? Is there a motion for approval?
No, moves approval.
And a second?
Second, John.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1052.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1052.0 is approved. Next is course number 1057.0, Advanced Florida Building Code 7. Code 7th Analysis Internet. This is provided by Institute of Strategic Educational Partners, and the accreditor is Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that presents an analysis of the major changes from the 6th to the 7th edition of the Florida Building Code. This session covers an overview of the code and the major changes in the building book, residential book, existing book, and energy book. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course?
Yeah, this is Commissioner John. I didn't find a method of evaluation or a timeline, so I'm not. It looks like an excellent course. I just would like to have seen those two things: method of evaluation and timeline.
I did not have those marked, so can we see if they're there? Okay, looks like the link's not working.
There is a timeline, Commissioner John. I'm looking at it. In the outline, it's got the minutes over to the right on the page.
Michael, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. I just, when I reviewed it, I didn't find it.
Yes, it's there. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, and then the method of evaluation?
This is an online course, and she did not include a quiz. She does have it number 6 on the syllabus, questions and discussion. But you're right, it's not labeled as a method of evaluation, so it is missing.
Right there, stop. Go to page 2, the top of page 2, method of evaluation. Through direct interactive feedback of students throughout the session.
I see it. Yes, there is a method of evaluation. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that because I didn't see it. Thank you for that.
No problem. It's recommended for approval. Is there a motion?
Schiffer. Approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Schiffer.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1057.0, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 1057.0 is approved. Last in this section is course number 1053.0, Advanced FPC Plumbing, 7th Edition, 2020, Appendix F, Landscape Irrigation Systems Internet. This is provided by the American Society of Landscape Architects, Florida Chapter, and it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a two-hour online course that will review and explain the key features and sections of the Florida Building Code as they relate to the practice of irrigation design and system construction for landscape architects. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on this course? Is there a motion that's recommended for approval?
I'll move approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Beret seconds.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 1053.0, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the course is approved. Next, we have our administratively approved updated courses, and the first one is course number 992.1, 2020 Advanced FBC Significant Code Changes. The provider is BCIC LLC, and the accreditor is JC Code and Construction Consultants, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour instructor-led course that presents significant code changes from the 2017 6th edition to the 2020 7th edition. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course? Is there a motion that's recommended for approval?
Brown moves approval.
Thank you. And a second?
Second, John.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 992.1, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, course number 992.1 is approved. Next, we have course number 993.1, 2020 Advanced FBC Significant Code Changes Internet. This is provided by BCIC LLC, and it's accredited by JC Code and Construction Consultants, Inc. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that presents the significant code changes from 2017 6th edition to 2020 7th edition. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there any comment on this course? It's recommended for approval. Is there a motion?
Beret moves approval.
Okay, I heard Commissioner Beret and I heard Commissioner Brown on the motion and the second. All those in favor of approving course number 993.1, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The course is approved. Next, we have course number 365.4, 2020 Advanced Wind Mitigation Methodologies, Part 1 Internet Course. And this is provided by Infinity LC, and it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that introduces Florida contractors to wind mitigation methodologies, retrofitting techniques required by FS 553.844. After an administrative review of this course, it was found that the slides to be used for the actual course presentation were not included, only the verbiage for the narration. As a result, I recommend conditionally approving this course subject to the slides being added and reviewed.
Okay, is the provider on the call? Okay, is there any comment? All right, it's recommended to be conditionally approved. Is there a motion to that effect?
I make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor of conditionally approving course number 365.4, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Course number 365.4 is conditionally approved. Next, we have course number 394.4. This is 2020 Advanced Wind Mitigation Methodologies Part 2 Online Retrofit Course provided by Infinity LC, accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that is designed to provide Florida contractors with a thorough understanding of the wind mitigation retrofitting techniques required by FS 553.844 as covered in the 2020 Florida Building Code. After an administrative review of this course, it was found that the slides to be used for the actual course presentation were not included, only the verbiage for narration. As a result, I recommend conditionally approving this course, subject to slides being added and reviewed.
Thank you. Is there any comment on the course? It's been recommended for conditional approval. Is there such a motion?
So motion.
Okay, I heard Commissioner John and Commissioner Beret on the conditional motion. All those in favor of conditionally approving course number 394.4, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? course number 394.4 is conditionally approved. Next, we have course
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
This is Commissioner Brown. I am going to have to drop off for a doctor's appointment.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Course number 444.4. This is 2020 Advanced Code Requirements for Residential Construction Internet Course 7th Edition. This is provided by Infinity LC and accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a one-hour online course that is designed to provide licensees with an understanding of the 2020 Building Code Requirements for Residential Construction. After an administrative review of this course, it was found that the slides to be used for the actual course presentation were not included, only the verbiage for narration, and it was also found that the course method of evaluation, which consisted of three learning exercises, were missing from the material. As a result, I recommend this course be conditionally approved, subject to the slides being added and reviewed, as well as the addition and review of the three learning exercises.
Thank you. Is there any comment?
Madam Chair, I just have a question about these. So when we conditionally approve something pending a review in the future of their slides, of their presentation material, does that come back in front of this group, or is that reviewed administratively by staff?
Michael?
It's reviewed administratively, and sometimes I will ask a commissioner to help me.
Okay, thank you.
All right, is there any other comment on this course? All right, it's been recommended to be conditionally approved. Is there a motion?
Schiffer will move.
Okay, I heard Schiffer and Commissioner Beret on a conditional approval. All those in favor of conditionally approving course number 444.4, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Course number 444.4 is conditionally approved. Our last course is course number 836.1, 2020, Florida Building Code, Advanced Chapter 1609, Wind Loads for Contractors. This is provided by Professional Training and Consultants, Inc., and it's accredited by Code Consulting Services. Michael?
Madam Chair, this is a two-hour instructor-led course that offers a basic overview of wind load requirements, components, and cladding design requirements in wind load regions for contractors installing windows, doors, and exterior covering. As a result of an administrative review of this course, I found no issues and recommend approval.
Well, thank you. Is there any comment on the course? It's recommended for approval. Is there a motion?
Schiffer moves.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Beret seconds.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving course number 836.1, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Course number 836.1 is approved. We have no self-affirmed courses. Michael, is there anything that you want to say about your administrator activity report other than what's already posted?
No, Madam Chair. Everything is as usual.
Okay. Is there any member of the POC that would like to discuss anything? Is there anyone from the general public that has anything they'd like to discuss? All right. I thank you all for your attendance. I understand that Commissioner Brown has left. Otherwise, I think we're all here, and I don't think we have to do a roll call anymore. So I'm going with we are adjourned.
Excellent meeting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner.